I look back over my life and look at all the times when I've been weak and when I didn't think I could go on, the problems came along in my life, the more I leaned on Jesus, the better things got. Yeah. And that's a true song. Learning to lean on Him is an awful important lesson to learn.
Amen.
Sometimes I fight learning, man.
Amen.
But somehow He always brings me back.
Yeah.
I just want to stand thankful to save me, just praise Him for who He is, what He does for me.
Amen.
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 I had to preach here Sunday night that God supplies every need the church has, and that He's given each one of us different gifts. He has given us a gift of salvation. Praise God for that. And He has given us a gift of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit has given to each one of us gifts. Gifts that are differing. And amazing that coming out of the choir, I looked over across the page at that song, and it just jumped out and grabbed me.
Amen.
Just as simple as God speaking to me about that song and the words in that song and me saying a few words, the Holy Ghost has that in His library and says, I've got somebody in this church that can sing that song.
Amen.
And without me even having to ask them to sing that song, the Holy Ghost says, just let me go back there and take care of this for you.
Amen.
Sitting there, Brother Chris said, I think Pam sings that song, but she wasn't here when the choir was up there, and she, it might be something different. He said, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. And I said, well, somebody come up there and sung, Brother Jerry sung Amazing Grace. And I said, she's liable to think, well, we've already had a special, I won't sing now. But the Holy Ghost will probably go speak to them about doing that.
Yeah.
Her and Gina come right up and sung that exact song. Now, some of you will go home and say, well, the preacher went ahead and pre-planned that. I didn't call on Calvin to sing on the song right across the page from that. I certainly didn't call those girls, and even though one of them was my wife, and say, I want you to sing such and such tonight because I need to hear it. Because to be honest with you, I didn't know I needed to hear it until I was standing back there coming off the back row of the choir. However, I will say this. You may think what you want to, and you may miss out on a blessing.
Amen.
But I know what happened.
Amen.
And it blessed me to death.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else have something on your heart? I don't want to get ahead of the Lord here. He's working last Wednesday night. What a meeting
Amen.
We had.
Amen.
Just minding God.
Praise
minding God. Kind of feel preaching coming on, though, to be honest with you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Preacher, you say you feel preaching coming on. Well, you're supposed to preach. Not every time you get up do you feel preaching coming on. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you get up and preach by faith. Yeah. And you get done, and then you feel preaching coming on. You have to hold up another hour. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, would you stand with me as we reverence the reading of the Word of God? You may say, why do you preachers do that? Why do some people have the preachers have us a stand? Well, I read to them in the prayer room there the other morning when Ezra, the man of God, came out. And there when they rebuilt the walls of the city and the temple at Jerusalem, he stood before the people from the midday, from the morning until sometime after the midday. And everybody stood as he read the Word of God. As he read the law, the people stood. Everyone gave audience. What a blessing that was.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've been preaching for some time now about the fruit of the Spirit. We spent a lot of time on love and I don't know how many messages about joy. And last week we felt like we were going to be preaching on joy. And then the dear brother showed up last week for service and thought we'd be asking him to preach. And then God said, y'all just sit here and relax and let me take over. And then he moved on us to say a few words there. And somehow I feel like what God was trying to show us last week was his trying to show us about joy. You think about it, he did.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Yes. Pray, God, that we would not get ahead of you and not tread you too far behind, but we'd be nigh to you, and you'd draw nigh to us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us tonight then preach. Heard those girls when they sang that song said, if we had just asked, Lord, that you would help us to accomplish things and do things for your glory. So, Lord, we're asking, learning to lean on you a little further today than we were yesterday. And God, I pray that for the furtherance of this service, that you'd meet each need and help us now to preach. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I do want to spend just 5 minutes to refresh you about joy. Number one, we said that there is joy can be defined as gladness of heart. However, it's a little deeper than that in that it is not controlled by circumstances. Our joy in the Lord is not based on earthly possessions. Joy in the Lord and the Word of God is not based on how's your day go today. And ask you what kind of day do you have, you might not express to me a whole lot of joy. But I'm talking about joy that we ought to have in the Lord. And even though you may have had a hard day, God's blessed you.
Amen.
With His air and with blood running through your body. Blessed you with a roof over your head, car to drive and clothes to wear. He's been good to you.
Yes.
And you ain't sitting here tonight in too awful much pain. If you were, you'd probably be somewhere else. I remember what that's like to be in pain with every breath I took in pain for weeks at a time. I'm glad to say tonight I'm not in pain.
Amen.
I thank you for that, Lord. It sure feels good to not be in pain, but it concerns me for others that are in pain.
Amen.
We ought to have joy when we're in pain and joy when we're not in pain.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. So, preacher, you're crazy. Well, Colossians chapter 3, you remember, use this verse, let of God to use it. One reminds you that if you're not careful, there can be idolatry in joy. Idolatry in joy. You know that ain't right. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, it'd do us all good to take this verse and apply it to our lives. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. Is your affection the things that concern you heavenly, or are they earthly and fleshly? Solomon said something about that over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. You remember Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Solomon, the wisest of all men, I believe, that walked on earth outside of Jesus. I believe the Bible teaches that. But also a man that was one of the richest people on the face of the earth. Let's see how he set his affection on things above and not on things of the earth. What he says, verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I set my affection on things on the earth. I withheld not from myself any joy that was on the earth. I had riches and money and ability and fame to go out and reach or do anything. But I got my goals all mixed up in my life. And when I look back, it was all vanity. And there was no profit in any of it. Basically, he said, my joy was based on circumstances and earthly possessions. And it was vanity. Amen. That's not heavenly joy, but it's fleshly joy, and that stuff will soon pass. Yes, it will. Number two. We said, first of all, there was the idolatry of joy, and then we said in Hebrews 12:2 that there was Emmanuel's joy. You know, Emmanuel, meaning Jesus. The Bible says, Emmanuel being interpreted, God with us. Hey, he had joy. We went through a lot of points there. Joy in creation, remember? Joy in the coming of Jesus Christ, you know, born of a virgin. Joy beyond the cross. That's what we want to read, chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The Bible said there was joy set before him, and knowing that, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. What about that, y'all? A right hand of the throne of God. What about that? That's Emmanuel's joy. He knew there'd be sinners, you and me, needing to be saved. And there was joy before him on the cross. Remember, we talked about the joy in the certainty of resurrection. The joy in the carrying away or the ascension of Jesus. And the joy in one day being caught up with him at the rapture. That's going to be a joyous day if you're prepared to meet him. But if you're not, it'll be a terrible day. What about for me? It's going to be a joyous occasion. And I trust it will be for you as well. I tell you, if the rapture happens tonight after the service is over, I won't be here Sunday to pray for you. I want to say number three, and I feel like that it somehow ties to last week. God had me get up and say in just a few minutes something about the woman with the parable of the lost coin. Someone was lost in the house. And God did miraculous things last week. I want to read those verses again tonight in Luke chapter 15. And try to express to you what I think the Lord was trying to, not only in saving someone, but what He's trying to show us. Number three, there is such a thing as instant joy. Now, I heard somebody say there's instant mashed potatoes. I don't care much about that stuff. I like the real thing, don't you? I went to a restaurant recently, had the instant mashed potatoes. They just wasn't like Grandma makes them.
Amen.
Amen. Give me some of them glorified, real mashed potatoes, and I'll praise God for it. Man, them instant ones, well, they did the job for the time being, but they just, it was awful flat. Didn't like them. And when I talk about joy, I'm not talking about that instant stuff when we talk about taters. No, I'm talking about real joy that comes instantly.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 15, verse 8 again, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I want to say, when that young lady got saved the other night and testified so, there was instant joy.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about counterfeit stuff like them taters. I'm talking about real joy that came right then. Came right then to her. You can see relief on her face after God had saved her.
Amen.
Praise God for that. And then you know, you look around and you see others that were sharing the joy that she'd expressed. Thankful for another one birthed into the family of God.
Amen.
And then what we didn't see. The joy that was in the presence of the angels. Before the throne of God. For all we know, there's angels encamped around us here the other night. They're shouting out, having a time, amen. Because another one had been saved. And no doubt, there's a throng in heaven of all the redeemed that have gone on before us. They've outstripped us and they're there now. They've already graduated, died and left this world and moved on. And when they heard heaven's cry ring out that another one's name has been entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, oh, there was instant joy all across the city called Glory.
Amen.
Tonight I want to think here about how when you and I got saved, there was joy to you when you got saved. And joy probably for that person who shared that with you or who got to pray with you. There was joy. And there was joy in things that were unseen. But I got to thinking this afternoon in my study about the joy that Jesus must have had. Remember, He's been out seeking, searching by the Holy Spirit for a bride. And you're out looking and He finds that one that's willing and gets saved. Amen. There's the seeker's joy.
Amen.
Now I go over here a second, this ain't in my notes. I know you won't care. 2 Samuel chapter 9 jumps out to grab me right now. I want to read right there. Instant joy. Jesus had joy. Not just on the cross, knowing there was joy before Him, but when the search was on and that one was found, there was joy. Hey, did He not go out looking for the lost sheep?
Yes.
Left the 99 and picked it. He didn't scold that one and kick it back to the flock. No, bless God, He picked it up and put it up on His shoulders and bore it back to the flock and said, "Rejoice with me, for I found that which was lost." He was praising His Father for another one that was shown mercy.
Amen.
I want to read in 2 Samuel chapter 9 for just a second. This is, and y'all know I've preached on this thought before, but it kind of came to me this afternoon and I hadn't seen it in this light. David said, and he's the king, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul?" 2 Samuel 9. "Is there any left of the house of Saul?" Saul was the king before David. Saul was the man that tried to kill David 9 different times. He tried to kill him one time. And then David said, "I'm sorry. You're more spiritual than me. Forgive me for what I've done." And as soon as David turned his back, he took a javelin and threw it at the young boy after he just apologized. 9 times he tried to kill him. And now old Saul's dead and gone. And David stands up and says, "Is there any left of Saul's house? Is there any left that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Who's Jonathan? Jonathan is Saul's son. You'd think the whole family, if Saul's trying to kill David, the whole family would be trying to kill David. But the Bible says that David and Jonathan were friends and their souls were knit together by love.
Amen?
Amen? And he says, "I want to show kindness to that family's sake, to that family for Jonathan's sake." "There was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' The king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?' Ziba said to the king, 'Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.' And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?' Ziba said to the king, 'Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar.'" Now I want to say that this represents something. It represents God the Father. David's the king. God, Jesus, our king. Amen. God's our king.
Right.
And he says, "Is there any of the house of that wicked one that I may show them kindness for Jesus' sake?"
Amen.
He died on the cross for that wicked bunch.
Right.
"I want to show them kindness. I want to extend mercy and grace to them for Jesus' sake. Is there any?" And the Bible says there was a servant named Ziba. He represents in this story the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit steps up and says, "Yes, sir, there is one. His name is there. Now he's lame on his feet. He's a sinner. But where is he?" God the Father says, "Holy Ghost knew right where I was that night."
Amen.
He said he's in sin. And he's down there at the Byford Baptist Church. And this is July the 13th. 1978. And Brother Percy Ray's been called to preach a meeting there. And they've been praying in the prayer room for about a week or more. And he's got a message to preach tonight out of 2 Peter chapter number 5. And I believe tonight that that young man, when I speak to him, he's going to get saved.
Bless
him. Verse 5 said, then King David sent and fetched him. I don't know if that means a whole lot to you. Got it. Just the one he's looking for. He got it. Praise God. I hope you don't mind me using you for an example. Amen. You'd be seated. But he came and he fixed it. Now I want to say to you tonight, heaven was looking for a bride for Jesus.
Amen.
Another soul that might be saved for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' work, for Jesus' glory, for what he'd accomplished on the cross.
Amen.
And knowing right where I was, yay, knowing right where he was, all of heaven stopped for a moment and the Holy Ghost went forward and spoke to your heart about getting right.
Amen.
You know that night he fetched you.
Amen.
Come knocking. You're lost. And you're going to hell.
Amen. Amen.
No, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. But you don't have to go because Jesus died and rose again. He died for your sins that your sins and your sinner might be washed away. Oh, no. Are you lame on both your feet? Yes, sir. Are you a sinner? Well, all sin. Yeah. I am. Watch. Now when Mephibosheth, that's his name, the son of Jonathan, the son of David, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. You remember that night? Holy Ghost come, grabbed a hold of you and said, you're lost, you need to be saved. And I'm telling you, he fetched you. You were under spiritual arrest. He didn't make you come with him, but he came knocking on your heart's door and said, would you come to Jesus?
Right.
The King of Kings is looking for you. Me? I can imagine old Mephibosheth went and hit his face. He knew he was an heir to the throne, and his daddy and his granddaddy had been killed, and he being the only one still alive. I bet that fellow's looking for me to kill me. I'll just lay here and hide while he knocks on my door. And though he fetched him, he come got him. And he brought him to the king.
Yeah.
I remember that night. Holy Ghost came, knocked on my heart's door, fetched me. You know what he did? He brought me under conviction and laid me at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
A sinner, unclean, at the foot of the King of Kings.
Amen.
Can't hardly read. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. He realized who he was, what a powerful, influential man he was. Well, I realized when I bowed there, who it was speaking to me. I realized my sin, my unworthiness, and I realized his righteousness and his worthiness. I bowed there not knowing what to say, and he called me. David said, Mephibosheth, boy, I'm glad he knew my name. He knew your name, amen.
Amen.
And he said, behold thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? A dog. You and I are Gentile dogs.
Right.
Well, a dog is an unclean animal. Preacher, I love my dog very much out there. You call him that. That's what a dog is, unclean.
Amen.
When was the last time you went down to the steakhouse and ordered a rib of dog? New York strip of dog. Filet of dog. You don't. You know why? They're unclean. Unfit. That's the way we were. We were unfit for the righteousness of God to be displayed on us.
Yes.
And he brought us under arrest, and we knelt down there, and we said, Lord, why would you look at such a dead dog as I am? You know what his response is? Because I love you.
Yeah. Right.
I'm a dog, but I love you. That's why I died for you, that your sins would be washed away, and I'm glad when I asked him to forgive me. Right then and there, he did. Do you realize that there was a search on? Here's David. Here's my point. David's looking for someone. And when he hears the good news that there is someone, he's excited. You know, you got excited. You bought that new thing. They weren't able to give it to you right then, but you got that new thing and you were excited and you couldn't wait for them to bring it to you or for it to be delivered to you. You've been looking for the UPS man or the FedEx man for all these. You couldn't wait to see him. Hey, the Holy Ghost knew right where you was.
Amen.
Jesus being the seeker, he's excited about the fact that you're just about ready to be found, about ready to get saved. And realize when you're laid out there and you call on him for salvation, do you realize what joy that he has when you get saved? That you have confessed yourself a sinner, and there's joy to him in that.
Amen.
Do you realize the joy that you had as such a worthless being? That you could have your sins forgiven, and now your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're on your way to heaven, and the Holy Spirit now resides within. Well, there's joy there. I'm telling you, Mephibosheth was filled with joy. What did I do? I am a cripple. I'm lame on my feet. I don't know nothing about eating at the king's table. I don't know if the fork goes on the left or on the right. Where do they set the cup? To the left or to the right of the plate? I don't know, but all I'll say is, glory to God, look at that bowl of taters.
Amen.
They ain't counterfeit. It's real green beans. Hey, the grace on the table of God is real. The mercy on the table of God is real. All these blessings that God has for you on His table, you can eat there continually. Why do you go out and slop with the hogs and eat with the dogs? I'll never know. Because He's allowed you as a sinner to be saved and eat at His table continually. I tell you what, that gives me joy, bless God. That excites me to death. Preacher, I just can't hardly stand it. I'm telling you what. The Bible said in verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelled in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He's still lame. He hadn't been cured. Well, preacher, he didn't guess a hole. He's a sinner. Saved. But still a sinner.
Amen.
I am a sinner. Saved. Yet a sinner. I have a sin nature. I still live in the flesh. I still have a war between the Holy Spirit and the devil living inside me. Oh, yes, I do. My flesh wars against the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's an enmity. But I'm saved nonetheless.
Amen.
Can I read Isaiah chapter 12? I'm going to let you go home. Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 3 says, you got to understand, I was needing to be saved. I was thirsting. I'm thirsting right now for some of this water. Brother Calvin, thank you. I tell you what, I appreciate folks getting me water. I don't always drink out of this water jug. Sometimes I wait for everybody, but I've been thirsting tonight. I'm telling you, from the time I was sitting there to get up here, I wet my mouth and thought, man, I sure am thirsty tonight. I looked up here and I seen this and I thought, glory to God. In just a few minutes, I can get some of that water.
Amen.
And soothe my thirst and quench it. Well, you know what? As a sinner, I was thirsting for salvation. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I didn't have everything I needed. I was lost, going to a devil's hell. And I was thirsty for something to take my empty vessel and fill me. I'm telling you, there was a void in my life that I could not fill with anything other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was thirsty. I read about that woman at the well, and Jesus has taught her that He's living water.
Right.
He said, you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, preacher, you said you're thirsty tonight. He said, just drink of me. What He's trying to say is, I'll satisfy you like nobody else can. And in Isaiah 12:3, what's this verse? Therefore with joy shall you draw wet water out of the wells of salvation. Boy, I'm glad, bless God, to all thirsty, dry sinner, amen, that we can draw water out of that living fountain. Amen. Right. He is the fountain that we can quench our thirst.
Amen.
And we can drink with joy. I didn't have to slip up here and hide sheepishly, sneak up on it and have an attack. No! He said, you have access to my throne. Just come on in boldly. Hey, may that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And son, if you need a little water to quench your thirst, you just come on with joy that I'll give you what you need.
Right.
Bless his holy name. That instantly, Brother Keith, when I have a drink and I'm thirsty, you know what happens? I instantly am satisfied when I drink living water.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Preacher, you said he's going to let us go. I can't rightly right there. I've got to read Matthew 25. I was trying to skip a bunch. Matthew chapter 25. I don't want to leave stones unturned, but I believe maybe this will help us tonight. Matthew 25. Now, I realize this is a parable that has a spiritual truth here. Matthew 25, verse 21. This is about the talents, remember? God's given all of us different gifts, different talents. These are parable talents. You go home and read them all. Verse 21. Okay, this one that invested his talents for service. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Do you realize that there is joy in none else than Jesus? Amen. And when he said you enter into the joy of the Lord, it could be talking about heaven. Amen. I believe when we get there, there's going to be instant joy.
Amen.
Uh-huh. I don't know, preacher. I don't know if I like it or not. I never did. I never was much on big cities as well populated. I don't think I'll like it there. I don't know what the seating accommodations will be if that marriage sucked the wham. I might have to sit by Dean Cassidy or something. I mean, that wouldn't be fun, would it? I mean, I'm just picking on Brother Dean. He knows I'm playing. I mean, you know, we've got little pet things against each other. And you're going to enter into heaven and say, I don't want to sit beside them. Oh, no, they taught that Sunday school class. I would never go to that Sunday school class. In fact, I just lay out. I can't sit beside them. I tell you what, bless God, when you get into heaven, there'll be instant joy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I believe with all my heart you'll be satisfied.
Right.
You're going to know James, Paul, Peter. Never met a preacher we've never introduced. You don't need to be.
Right.
You'll know him. Preacher, you got any scripture for that? Yeah, I do. Look here in the book of Matthew at the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. And there was Peter, James, and John. Jesus was being transfigured. And down comes Moses and Elijah. And Peter knew who they were. Amen. He said, Lord, let us build a tabernacle. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. How'd they know who Moses and Elijah was? I can't read no verses where Jesus said, hey, Peter, this is Elijah. Elijah, this is Peter. Hey, James, look over here. They was not formally introduced, yet they knew each other. How's that possible? The joy of the Lord, amen. The joy of heaven, amen. Heaven will make the difference, hallelujah, for you. There'll be joy when you get there. I don't care who is there, who ain't there. There's going to be joy for you.
Amen.
I can't just but help tap this and bump it just for a little. Over here in 1 John chapter 3. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
You got saved and there come to you instant joy? Yes, there did. And did Jesus have joy when you came to be saved? He didn't say, oh, no. No, Lord, have Lord, Father, no way I'll save Mephibosheth. Not there in Waldron. Anybody else, bring down Paul Buchanan, but brother, bring Darren Walls up down here. And you know what he's done? And it's not what he did. He said, oh yes, Father, praise your name, I'll save him too. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 3. And you said you're saved. You said one day you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. You've already had instant joy. There'll be instant joy when you get there. Beloved, now are ye, verse number two, beloved, now, when? Now, when?
Now.
What does that mean?
Right.
Present tense. Right, look at your feet. Right where you sit tonight. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. Amen. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Right. Amen.
Did you feel that? Amen. There's joy in that verse.
Amen.
Boy, it don't say so. If it don't bless the devil into your soul from one side to the other to know that right now that you've been born again and you're one of the children of Almighty God, and it don't give you joy in your heart tonight and put a shout in your soul and an extra step inside your tread, I'm telling you what, you need to check up and get saved.
Amen.
That's joy that comes instantly in Jesus. Yeah, but now, preacher, I want to argue. Well, there's times when I've done wrong, or Johnny's talking about in the valley. Well, them ain't real joyous occasions. What you talking about? Said now. Are you, didn't say where you was on the mountaintop, or where you was in the valley low. He said, now you're the sons of God.
Amen.
That means that now there ought to be joy. Not based on mountaintop or valley experiences. I'm glad you said that, brother. Not based on these circumstances of life. I'm preaching to me tonight, y'all. I'm glad y'all came to hear it. Because I certainly needed it, and you know it's the truth. I'm telling you, it's not based on what they say or what's happening. It's based on Jesus.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
How many when I used to go to school? Man, I'd make, y'all stay with me. I'd make a bad grade on my test about every time. You know, and I was hoping that the smartest person in the class, you know, the Sess and the Dustin Statons and, you know, all them, is making these great grades. I was hoping, brother, that y'all would get a bad grade. You know, I'd get a 42, and I was hoping if you'd get an 82, they'd grade on the curve. That means it'd give us 18 extra points, and you'd get 100, and I'd go from a 42 to a 60. My mom and daddy would be a little happier with that than a 42. Still a F. But I'd say, yeah, but Mom, I almost made a D. And I was so glad sometimes in my chemistry class or in physics when the teacher got up and said, I tell you, I hate to have to do this, but I'm going to have to grade on the curve. God, not great. Well, I'm glad God don't grade on the curve.
Amen.
He ain't letting nobody by. He grades on the cross.
Right.
I'm glad I've been to the foot of that cross. Amen. And that's where my sin was cast aside and forgiven. Cast behind His back forever. Amen. And never be brought up against me anymore. The devil may remember, my mind may remember, but when I have been forgiven, God will never bring it up. And that brings me joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Your heads are bowed. Nobody's looking. Preacher tonight, listen to you for 35 minutes. Honest, I meant to preach 15. But tonight, preacher, I want to tell you what I've been encouraged about. Joy. Joy. Now, I want my joy to be greater than it was when I come in here and I believe I'm on the right track. I want you to pray for me. And my joy, that instant joy, it'd stay with me. You might as well slip up your hand, slip it right back down. God bless you and you and you and you. Boy, we're all in the same boat, ain't we? We're basing our joy on circumstances so many times. Lord, help us to get our... Lord, there might be somebody here who's got joy on circumstances. Lord, would you help me get my joy off circumstances and on you? Help me tonight. Anybody else? Lord, bless you and you and you. All over the house. Praise God. Praise God. Father, tonight we thank you for the inerrant Word of God. I realize we've not preached well. And we have preached long. But Lord, I pray there's something in there the Holy Spirit would use to touch someone's life to give them joy. I tell you, when those girls got up tonight and sang that, That gave me joy. When Jerry got up tonight and sang as he was requested to, I saw joy on his face, joy on the Esker's face, and there came joy to me when he got up to sing. I have joy in my heart when folks get up and testify of what God's doing in their life. Not bragging on sin, but bragging on God. Lord, that's what brings me joy, and I need that. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to get our joy off of circumstances and situations, off mountaintops and valleys low, and just have them in Jesus. Lord, I struggle in that department so often. Thank you for your word, which encourages me and shows me where I'm wrong. I pray, God, you'd help each hand that was raised, that's been honest with you, my hand and heart are both flagged and raised to my